Y'all pray with me. Holy Father, and our Lord Jesus Christ, surely, Lord, Thou art looking on now to this service. Surely Thou art here. You're worthy of our praise. You're worthy of our lives, Lord Jesus Christ. Would You take that which is Your deserved? Would You take that which You've purchased? Would You, Lord, be glorified in our body and our spirit, which is Thine? Speak in our ears, Lord, this day. Speak in our hearts, O God, and plant it deeply embedded in us, O Lord God, that which we need to come home, be with You, Lord. We'll never be home in this earth. Can't ever be home in this earth. Let us never be as Esau, who sold his birthright for a morsel of bread. Rather than suffering and being broken by You, he'd rather have a morsel of bread and save his life. Rather make us a drink offering. An alabaster box of ointment before Thee to be poured out upon Thee all the days of our life. This vain, wretched, treacherous world that we live in, where we have one possible great ability, that is to glorify Your name, one possible potential to do anything worth doing, one thing that's worth doing in this world is even about, is that the saints could glorify Jesus Christ. Nothing else is purposeful, nothing else is meaningful, there's nothing else worth doing in this world. Giving us a lot of light, give us more now still. Encourage us, Lord, and help lead us home. We want to come home, Lord, be wholesome, be in one piece, be in Christ, and be with You where You are. We'd be there, as You said, that You've prepared a place for us. If it were not so, You would have told us. But You made us a mansion in the sky. You've prepared a way. You are the way. Help us cleave to the way. For Your own glory and cause, help me now. Grant the utterance necessary to share what I believe is on Your heart. And help the brethren have ears to hear, Lord God, all of them. And even all those that are unsaved in this place, O God, and all those that are backslidden in this place, if there be any. And all those that are doing well, O God, they would take heed lest they fall from their steadfastness. In Jesus Christ's name, pray these things. Amen. Brethren, we sang a lot about loving Christ. Do you love Christ? Are you loving Christ right now, which is a reasonable service? Which is the will of God, which is the all, the whole, the law, the prophets, and the law, and everything else is consummated in this one command of God. Love the Lord thy God with all your heart, and all your soul, and all your mind, and all of your strength. And when you've done that, you've been reconciled to the purpose wherewith and for which you were made. And the purpose wherewith and for which Christ died. That you might love God. You might have a burning zeal and passion for His name. A vehement desire for His glory in this earth, for His person, for His presence. Do you love Christ? 234, we sang it, Son of my soul. Son of my soul, Thou Savior dear, it is not night if Thou be near. Oh, may no earth-born cloud arise to hide Thee from Thy servant's eyes. Nothing between my soul and my Savior, not of this world's delusive dream. The message that I want to preach right now, I titled, Where, Oh Where is Christ? Where, oh where in all the earth is Christ? Where in my life is Christ? Where is the Lord God of Elijah? Where is the God of my fathers? Where is the God of the book of Acts? Where is the God of the Bible? Where, oh, where is Christ? Is that the cry of your heart? Can you say, I thirst for Christ? Where is Christ? Why hasn't He come yet? Why is He not with us now? Where, oh, where is Christ? It is not night if you're near. But if you're not near, it is night. It's the darkness of night. It's the blackness of darkness forever. If you're not near, it's always night. Though the sun's shining bright at noonday, it's night. If you're not near, this is the heart of a cry of a man that's right with God. This is the heart of a cry of a person who has seen the vision, who has Christ born in him, who's thirsting because they're on the cross. I thirst. I thirst! Where, oh where, oh where, oh where is Christ? Should be the cry of this hour, this generation, 2014. Especially to the Christians. Especially the Church of Wells. Of all churches in the earth that I know about, we should have that cry. Where, oh where is Christ? In America or in Australia or anywhere else in the earth? Where, oh where is Christ? Not what about my fathers and they didn't get the picture and we're doing as well as them. Where is Christ of the Bible? Where is Pentecost? Where is revival? Where is the presence of God? Where is His glory? I've been reading Song of Solomon the last week. And it spake a lot to me. And the Lord quickened something to quicken this message, to put this on my heart, that this was the word for the hour, for the moment, for us to walk in, to get a hold of, to understand. This is the heart of God right now. And I'll share with you what I read, particularly chapter 2, Song of Solomon. Song of Songs, a love song betwixt Solomon and this bride, this woman, and or betwixt Christ and His church. And there's no question it's metaphorical. And there's no question that Solomon had a greater end in writing this between him and this woman. It's the Song of Songs. The Song of Songs. Song of Solomon 1 verse 1. Song of all songs. Greater than all even love songs in the Bible, it is the epitome of love songs. It's a song of loves. Of all songs. Between Christ and His bride and His church. The Creator and the creature. Song of Songs. Song of Solomon. Chapter 2. I believe this is the woman. I am the rose of Sharon and the lily of the valleys. I believe that implies humility and lowliness and brokenness of heart. I believe the rose of Sharon, that's a common flower in a valley with many other roses, and she's being humble. I'm just a common rose. I'm the rose of Sharon. And the lily of the valleys. A lily, but in a valley. Just buried in a valley, an obscure valley. And then Christ. Or Solomon, who's a type of Christ. Jedediah, born to be a type of Christ. Says this. As the lily among thorns, so is my love among the daughters. To encourage her. Just like in Revelation chapter 2, the poor and afflicted and broken church is so broken. And the Lord says, but thou art loved. But thou art rich. But thou hast need of nothing, but we're so poor. That's beautiful to God. That poverty of spirit. I believe that is what God is calling for in this hour. He goes on. As the apple trees among the trees of the wood, so is my beloved among the sons. She said that to him. And that's what we, the bride of Christ, should say to Christ. We're not right. I sat down under His shadow with great delight. And His fruit was sweet to my taste. He's an apple tree and everything else is a dead tree or an oak tree or a non-fruit bearing tree that could have cared less for. They're idols. That's the joy of the heathen. That's the pleasure of this life, of the world that's passing away. It's nothing. It's withering. Fig tree of death. Not Christ. Not Christ, who is altogether lovely, the chiefest of 10,000. These both come from this book, right here. He's an apple tree in the trees of the woods, amidst all the trees. He is a fruitful bearing tree. He is a beautiful tree. He is a wholesome tree. Verse 4. He brought me to the banqueting house, and his banner over me was love, to the feast of charity. The house of banqueting, of charity. Stay with me, she says, the bride of Christ. When she's right, when she's loving as she ought to love, you love somebody, you don't want to be without that somebody. If you love somebody, you're going to tell them that. You're going to show them that. Your life's going to express that if you love somebody. She loves him. She loves him. Stay me with flagons, vessels. Stay me with flagons. Comfort me with apples or vessels of wine. Stay me with flagons. Comfort me with apples. For I am sick of love. I am sick of love. Are you sick of love? That was what was quickened unto me. That's a heart that's right. That's loving God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. That's what He desires. That's thirsting. That's not being content with idols. Keep yourselves from idols. Stay with Christ. I am sick of love. Multiple times that expression is in the Song of Solomon. Is that your heart cry to Jesus Christ, your Maker, your Savior? Is He your friend, your only friend? Is He your longing desire and passion in the nights? As the deer panteth after the water brook, so longeth my soul after thee. The living God, sick of love. His left hand is under my head, and his right hand doth embrace me. I charge you, O ye daughters of Jerusalem, by the rose and by the hinds of the field, that ye stir not up nor awake my love till he flees. She does not want him to leave. She does not want him to be awake. She does not want to let him go. She's got the passion. She's got the fire. She's got the desire. She does not want to let it go for anyone. O ye daughters of Jerusalem, don't stir up. Don't awake him. Don't move him. I love him. I love him. I'm going to hold on to him. She was right with God at that time. Are you right with God at this time? Is that your cry? Are you holding on to Christ, dear life? Cleaving with both hands, with all your heart. You will not let Him go except He bless you with His presence perpetually, walking in His courts, seeing the beauty of His face, following after Him, if that you might know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death every moment by moment. I have strength from above. Moment by moment, I'm walking with Christ, loving Him more and more. About Jesus, I would know more about Jesus on His throne, more about His face. Glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. He is the glory of God. He wants to be loved. He purchased the right to be loved on that tree. Like this, sick of love. We should be sick of love. Christ, we're not right with God. Or you've left your first love, and God is displeased, and God is grieved with us. Rightfully so. He should be. It's a shameful thing not to love God with all your heart. It's a shameful thing. If any man love not the Lord with all their heart, let him be anathema, maranatha, eternally damned in His coming. He is so precious. He is so worthy. So the sermon is this, where is Christ? Gideon was being persecuted in Judges chapter 6. The Midianites were there in Israel, 120,000 Midianites all over the place, just destroying their crops and taking away all their harvest and taking away all their lives and ravishing the country land. An enemy alien army is in Israel at that time. It's a terrifying thing. Gideon's trying to hide his wheat by the threshing floor. He's trying to hide because the enemy's there like a flood, because Israel wasn't loving God and God gave him over. You want the Midianites. You want the gods of other lands. Here you go. Here's their army. Here you go. Have them. Gideon says, in that context, where is the God of my fathers? Where is the God of my power? Those afflictions and those sufferings, those persecutions. We're working this love. We're working this passion. We're working this fire in His heart. Song of Solomon 4, verse 16. Awake, O north wind, and come, thou south. Blow upon my garden, that the spices thereof may flow out. Blow upon my garden, that the spices thereof may flow out. He is saying that, Christ is saying that to His bride, about His bride. Blow upon it, that it might bring forth the fruit. Here is my Father glorified, that you bring forth much fruit. So shall you be my disciples, 30-fold, 60-fold, and 100-fold. That's pleasing. That's Christ. That's abiding. That's what happens when you abide. Where, oh, where is Christ? Where is Christ? Where in all the earth is Christ? Where is Christ in my life? Who is my life? And I have no life without Him. Where is He whom my soul loveth? Where are you, O Christ? I can't go on without you. I won't go on without you. I don't want to live without you because you're my life. You are life. Everything else is death. Death. That's His desire. This kind of love. This kind of passion. Song of Solomon 8, verse 6. Set me, Christ says to His church, as a seal upon thine heart, as a seal upon thine arm. For love is strong as death. Jealousy is cruel as the grave. The coals thereof are coals of fire, which hath a most vehement flame. Many waters cannot quench love, neither can the floods drown it. If a man would give all the substance of his house for love, it would be utterly contemned, despised, belittled, not even comparable. That's the will of God for you. Set Him as the seal on your heart. Set Christ before your eyes always. Let Him be your prize. Let Him be your praise. Let Him have preeminence and the glory due unto His name for shedding His blood for wretches as us who have nothing to give Him. But He gave Himself for us. So we ought to give ourselves for Him. Not that that would do anything meritoriously. Not that could do anything meritoriously. But nothing else satisfies. Nothing else is right and reasonable in this context of the reality of the gospel. Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. Fairest Lord Jesus. Him crucified on a cursed tree. That's the context. Where, oh, where is Christ? Do you love Him, brethren? If you love somebody, you will not be away from them. I've heard stories of old people that have died that have been so close, that have loved each other so much, carnally speaking, naturally, that after one died, the other one dies immediately after that. They're dead. They were so interconnected. They so loved one another. Their lives were so bound up with one another that when one died, the other one couldn't go on living. Can you go on living without your Maker, without your Redeemer, without your King, without your best friend, without your Lord? It's not right. It's not your life then. Christ, when He who is our life shall appear, then shall ye also appear with Him in glory. To live is Christ, to die is gain. Our all in all, our strength, our Redeemer, our friend, the Lord, our righteousness. Christ. Will you go on without Him, brethren, if He's not with you now? Will you go on without Him? Will you take another step without Christ? We shouldn't. Halt, stop. Christ, who is our life, is not with me. I'm abiding in death. If you really love Him, you won't be willing to be without Him, brethren. You will not. That's why the mark of the righteous in Ezekiel 9 is sighing and groaning over the abominations done in the city, not for the sake of the abominations themselves, not for the sake of the abomination of fornication itself. Do I hate fornication? I hate fornication because Christ hates it. Because He said that a man should be with a woman and they should be together and married in the covenant of God. Because I love Christ, it's an abomination to me. Sin is an abomination to me because Christ said that sin is sin and it's rebellion against Him and it's wicked. And it's hateful. And He hates it. And I love Him. You love him. Thus are you sighing, crying over the abomination, not just done in America, in the churches. In the churches. In America. In his name. With his words. As the pretense. False pretense, that is. You groaning? Are you sighing? Are you okay with that? When they were in captivity, the Israelites that loved God, they prayed toward Jerusalem. They cried out toward Jerusalem. They prayed always. Like Daniel, three times a day. It's always thinking of Christ. Remembering Christ. Are you doing that? Are you praying toward Him three times a day, seven times a day, all through the day, watching unto prayer? Because you don't want to lose Him. You don't want to fall asleep. You don't want to deny Him like Peter. John chapter 21. Let's talk about Peter. Let's talk about the burden of God for the hour. If you love someone, you want to be with them. That's a major point and theme in this message. Paralleling that is this. How do you get there? How did they get there in the book of Acts? How do you get there? And how do we stay there? And along with that, He's going to have to afflict us. He's going to have to afflict you. There's no other way. He's going to crush you. He's going to make you poor. He's going to make you needy. And then you're going to have to run after Him. You're going to have to seek Him. You're going to have to be sick of love for Him when the watchman smites you. And those are the two main things that I want to talk about. John chapter 21, Peter had said in Matthew 26 that he would never leave Christ. Though everybody forsook Him, I will never leave you, Jesus Christ. And the Lord said, thou shalt deny me thrice before the cock crows. Of course, Peter said, I will not deny you, even unto death. I'll die. I'll die for you. So did all the disciples. And as you know, he lied. It wasn't true. He lied. John 21, verse 15. Jesus showed himself the third time. Here's the meeting with Simon Peter. So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my lambs. He saith unto him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonah, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. Feed my sheep. Finally, the third time, Simon, son of Jonah, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he had said that the third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, feed my sheep. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest. When thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee, carry thee whither thou wouldest not. This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he saith unto him, follow me. Peter's word about John, he said, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. We've been denying Christ many ways. You've been denying Christ in many ways. You've not loved Him like this. You've not loved Him like this. That's why such a salty word as this needs to be put before our ears, that we would be kindled afresh that sacred flame of passion for His name. Lovest thou me? Lovest thou me, Church of Wells? Lovest thou me, Australians? Lovest thou Him? Christ. You love Him. Are you sick of love for Him? Are you setting Him as a seal upon your heart? Are you jealous for His name because you love Him so? You grieve at His name being defamed and profaned throughout the nations. Do you love Him? Peter, he loves Him now. He didn't love Him like as he ought. He deceived his own self. His heart had deceived him. And he denied him thrice. Rather not be with him. When the fire came, things got rough. Peter got running in his heart. But something changed now. Something changed. And Peter, read Acts chapter 1. Turn there with me. After the resurrection, and the Lord went back to heaven to ascend on the right hand of the throne of God, the exaltation, verse 12. Then returned they unto Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem a Sabbath day's journey. When they were come in, they went up into an upper room where abode both Peter and James and John and all the 12 disciples. Verse 14. These continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. Can you imagine the resolve? Can you imagine the single-mindedness? Can you imagine the heart of Peter at that point when he had denied the Lord? He saw what happened when he fell asleep. He saw what happened when his heart was subtly turned aside out of the way that he was walking in. He left his first love, and it was found out in the day of trouble. He could not stand. And if thou faintest in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. What a man is in temptations, he is indeed. And he fell to temptations. Couldn't stand. He didn't have on the armor of God. He wasn't walking with God with all of his heart like as he should. He wasn't watching his steps. And he got found out. And can you imagine now the love? Can you imagine now the passion? Can you imagine now the resolution? Can you imagine now the singularity of heart? And Peter and those disciples, after what they had done and seeing Christ resurrected, and Peter was forgiven by God. He wasn't demoted from his position as a bishop, as an apostle. He was salted. He was smitten. He was afflicted by Christ. He deserved it. And that flame was kindled for Christ. That love for God was implanted in his soul. Just watch, just read, just think about what happened in Acts 1 and 2 and 3 and 4 and 5. Look at this resolution. These all continue with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. And in those days, Peter stood up, taking oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, in the midst of the disciples, and said, you better believe, he thought in his mind, the Lord said, feed my sheep, feed my sheep, feed my lambs. He got up, fearing weakness and trembling. It wasn't comfortable for him, it was not easy. It's a fisherman, base man, chosen by God. Men and brethren, the scripture must needs have been fulfilled, which the Holy Ghost by the mouth of David spake before concerning Judas, which was guide to them that took Jesus. Cedra. Acts chapter 2. When the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a mighty rushing wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. There appeared unto them cloven tongues, like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Y'all can move down a little bit to verse 12. And when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, Ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Or why look ye so earnestly on us as though our... I'm sorry. Verse 14 of Acts chapter 2. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice, said unto them, ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to thy words. Can you imagine the reproach and the offense, the offscoring, the filth of all things were the Christians? Their Messiah had just been crucified as a criminal. Doors were shut. Men were decrying them, decrying for the Christians' blood. They just shed their Messiah's blood. Can you imagine the fear-mongering going on? Can you imagine the fears, the doubts within and without in the flesh? He wasn't in the flesh anymore. He wasn't trusting in his own name anymore. Something changed in Peter. He's not what he was. He's not having confidence in his flesh. That's been beaten asunder and knocked to pieces. He's trusting in the name of the Lord. That's why he's another man now. He has a love. He has a passion for the name of Christ. Because God had mercy upon him. He that is forgiven much loveth much. He doesn't care what anybody else thinks but Christ. He's God-conscious now. He's vertically minded and not carnally minded, which is death. Christ. Christ, only Christ. The heart of his cry every day. Be honored and loved, exalted. Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you. Hearken to my words. These are not drunken as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day, but this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Going on, verse 36, closing the sermon of Peter. Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly, God hath made that same Jesus, whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. As bold as a lion, full of the Spirit of God, full of faith, he was not wavering anymore. He's ready to shed his blood for Christ. That's the cost. He's on the altar again. He knows that God is looking on. He knows the Lord is sitting on high. He saw with his own eyes. God had mercy on such a wretch as he. All that's in his mind, he's pushing on. He's pressing on. He's moving forward. He's got momentum and just keeps on picking up. Every day. He lived like it was his last day. And it wasn't his last day because God knows the number of his days. And God let him burn for the Lord for a time. Till his time came to die. Many years later, 2 Peter 1, he still had the fire. He still had the fire. Wherefore, he put them in remembrance. That they always would have this in remembrance. You've got to be growing in grace and knowledge. And virtue and temperance and patience and friendly kindness. And all these things, they're abounding in you. They make you these. You need to be barren, nor improve the knowledge of God. But you lack these things. You're blind. You cannot see afar. And Peter is talking about what he's experiencing right now when his time's about to come to die. Same thing he had then. Fell in Galatians chapter 2. And Paul rebuked him and he repented. And he was sick of love again. He went after God with all of his heart. And it was a miracle he was still alive so many years later. To write the book of 2 Peter 2. That was a miracle. God. And he says, follow me. In essence, as I follow Christ. Way of truth. That's why most people speak evil of it. It's a wholehearted way. It's the kind of way that'll get you in jail. It's the kind of way that'll get your blood shed if you walk in it. It's the kind of way that if you don't love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, if you're not sick of love for Christ, drunken in your love for Christ, overwhelmed by your love for Christ, you can't walk it. Neither can I. May the Lord kindle afresh sacred love in our hearts. God, or you will never be able to leap over those mountains. You'll leap over those mountains. You won't care a thing about the mountains. You won't even see Goliath. You'll be so thinking of Christ like David was. You're not thinking about all the hypotheticals. How can I stand before this great man, this champion, military man from the Philistines? He's twice my size. He didn't care. He cared about one thing, Christ. Because David was right with God. You sick of love, brother? And if you're not sick of love, is the cry of your heart as the title of this sermon. Where, oh, where is Christ? Acts chapter 5. As y'all know, Acts 3, I accidentally was reading part of that when that man, the impotent man at the gate beautiful, was brought back from his impotency, given the ability to walk. And then Acts 5. Revival going on. The power of God is there. Peter is not taking his eyes off the Lord. Peter is not getting off the Lord. He fell in the water in Matthew 15. He's not falling again. He's not falling. He is pressing on. He is pushing back all the gates of hell under God. God is with him and he will not take his eyes off him. He will not let the daughters of Jerusalem disturb him. Don't awake my love. Don't awake him. He sleeps. Don't stir him up. He's holding on the life that he's got. With all of his heart, all of his strength, and all of his soul. Peter's another man, it's Christ. To live is Christ. Acts 5, but a certain man named Ananias, with Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession, kept back part of the price. His wife also being privy to it, brought a certain part and laid it at the feet of the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost? And to keep back part of the price of the land. Whiles it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost. Great fear came on all them that heard these things. Then his wife came in, and she was abetting in this crime, and she fell down dead too. Verse 11, and great fear came upon all the church, and upon as many as heard these things. And by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people, and they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch, in the middle of the city, speaking all things openly, in a city which had just crucified their Savior. And they're not afraid. And they're not stepping back. And they're holding the line. And they're holding their ground. And they're not going to be pushed back. They're resolved no longer to linger charmed by the world's delights. Face of flint to do the will of God. They're sick of love. They're sick of love. And they found him. And he came. He was resurrected. And though they denied him, all of them said the same things, Peter. And they all denied him in some measure. They will not deny him again. That's their heart. And of the rest durst no man join himself to them, but the people magnified them. And the believers were the more added to the number, added to the Lord multitudes both of men and women, insomuch that they brought forth the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and couches, that at the least the shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow some of them. There came also a multitude of the cities round about Jerusalem, bringing in sick folks and them that were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed every one. And Peter the whole time steady. Christ has the seal of his heart. Can you imagine Peter walked through the streets, the determination, the singularity of purpose, how he walked? He didn't even look at these sick people, and these people with the devils. They're just fleeing. Peter's just abiding in Christ. Thou hast delivered my soul from death. Wilt thou not deliver me from falling, that I may walk before thee in the light of the living? It's the cry of his heart, like David every day. Every moment of the day, and there's living waters, and there's life, and there's virtue, and there's power, and Satan cannot stand. Could not stand before that crucified man. Abiding in his crucified Lord. He's resurrected on the throne. Living waters perpetually pouring forth from him on every side. And so was it with all the disciples. So was it with all the apostles. Fear of God came upon every soul, and many signs and wonders were done. That's Christianity. Where is the Lord God of Acts 5? Where is the Lord God, Peter? Are you sick of love? Where, oh, where is this Christ? There's not another. Where, oh, where is Christ? Jacob, when he came to Haran in Genesis chapter 29, he saw Rachel, he kissed her for the first time, he ran and he got the well and he just lifted off himself this huge rock from off the well. And then she ran to her father. And after that he served for 14 years to marry that woman. 14 years, and they seemed unto him but a few days for the love that he had for her. You sick of love he was. From the beginning to the end, he loved her. And even God saw that Leah was hated because he so loved Rachel. He couldn't even think about Leah. He didn't want to be with her. He so loved Rachel. What about you? There's some things you've got to do. There's some lawful things that you've got to do. But you don't want to do them because you want to be with Christ. You'd rather be with Christ. And thus, when you do them, you abide. That's not where your heart is. Your heart is in Christ and in God and with God. And ever will be, and that's where you're going to stay. That's your comfort zone. That's your home. In this life and in that life which is to come. And with vengeance and ruthlessness and severity, cut off everything that hinders that purpose from being fulfilled. Song of Solomon. If y'all turn there with me, please. Where, oh where, is Christ? So this woman, type of the bride of Christ, the type of us, type of how we ought to be. She was sick of love for Christ. She was in love with Christ. She loved Christ. And at that time, you'll see how Christ loved her. The voice of my beloved, behold, he cometh leaping upon the mountain, just expecting, just looking for him, just waiting for him, just thinking about him, meditating upon him, skipping upon the hills. My beloved is like a roe or a young hart. Behold, he standeth behind our wall. He looketh forth at the windows, showing himself through the lattice. And then he says, my beloved spake and said unto me, rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. For lo, the winter is past, the rain is over and gone. Flowers appear on the earth. Time of the singing of the birds has come, and the voice of the turtle is near, is heard in our land. Verse 13. Fig tree putteth forth her green figs, and the vines with tender grape give a good smell. Arise, my love, my fair one, and come away, Christ says to his bride. To his bride that's loving him like that. For I am sick of love. He goes on, O my dove, a pure bird, clean bird. O my dove, thou art in the clefts of the rocks, in the secret place of the stairs. Let me see thy countenance, Christ says. Let me see thy countenance, Church of Wells. Christ says, let me hear thy voice. Sweet is thy voice, and thy countenance is comely. Then they that feared God spake oft one with another, and a book of remembrance was written of them that feared God and thought upon his name. Are you thinking upon his name? He's writing a book of remembrance because he is pleased with you, because your meditation of your heart and the answer of your tongue is pleasing in his sight, acceptable for God. Hers was because she's abiding in Christ. Hers was because she's sick of love, Christ. Stain me with flagons. Flagons with wine of love, God. She's drunken in her love for Christ. Peter was drunken. Couldn't think about anything else. He was just oblivious. A drunken man just comes to some scene and he's doing this and that. He's not thinking about it. He's just staggering around like a fool. He's just foolish. Christ, Peter was, in Acts 5. You should be foolish for Christ in a righteous sense, and be not drunk with wine, wherein is X, be filled with the Spirit who loves Christ, and so will you if the Spirit is in you. Verse 15. Take us the foxes, little foxes that spoil the vines, for our vines have tender grapes. What are the foxes? What are the cares of this life? What are the pleasures of sin? What are the pleasures of even things that are not inherently sinful, but they are sinful if they come between you and Christ? What are the things that are spoiling the vine? What are your foxes, brethren? You need to repent of. Where do you need to humble yourself? What do you need to hold back on? Where do you need to deny yourself? Because it's causing you to deny Christ. That's what love says. Take us the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vines, for our vines have tender grapes. How close can I get to Christ? How nigh can I draw to Him? Not how far can I be away from Him and get to heaven. How much can I get away with and get to heaven? You're not right. You're not going to heaven. You're not going to heaven if that's your heart. Where? Oh, where is Christ? I'm sick of love. My beloved is mine, she says. She's still right. She's still sick of love. And I am his. He feedeth among the lilies. Though she's this lily in the valley, this poor, humble, needy, pathetic thing, he feedeth among the valley, the lilies. He's with me. That's all she cared about at that time. Till the day break, and the shadows flee away, turn, my beloved, and be thou like a roe, or a young hart upon the mountains of Bether. Chapter 3. By night on my bed I sought him, whom my soul loveth. I sought him, but I found him not. I will rise now and go about the city and the streets and in the broadways. I will seek him, whom my soul loveth. I sought him, but I found him not. She's not okay with that. She's not content without Christ. Godliness with contentment is great gain. God-likeness, being like Christ, pleasing God, walking in his ways, and he'll be with you. She's not okay with that. True Christians aren't okay with that. You should be seeking God. Be looking around. He's somewhere. He's over here, but you can't see him. He's over here, but you can't see him. He's over there, but you can't find him. Where, oh, where did my Christ go? The watchmen that go about the city found me, to whom I said, saw ye him whom my soul loveth? It was but a little that I passed from them, but I found him whom my soul loves. They worked as an evangelist to Christian and Pilgrim's Progress and showed the way. She found him. I held him Song of Solomon 3 verse 4. I held him and would not let him go until I had brought him into my mother's house and into the chamber of her that conceived me. Once you found him, once he's with you, Peter would not let him go. The disciples would not let him go. David would not let him go. Awake up, my Lord. Awake, Psaltery on. I myself will awake early. My heart is fixed. My heart is fixed. I will sing. Give praise. I'm fixed. Steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Quit your life, man. Be strong. Watch ye. Stand fast in the faith in the Son of God. Faith of the Son of God harmonized with this sick of love. Heart for God. Sick of love. Stay me with flagons. Wine. I'm sick of love in the nights and the days and the morning time. Sick of love. He was pleased. He was pleased. She's holding on. She will not let him go. I charge you again, O ye daughters of Jerusalem, by the rose and by the hinds of the field, that ye stir not up nor wake my love till he please. Don't come between me and my Savior. She's jealous for him. Solomon comes. The next chapter is Christ praising his bride. And it ends with this, verse 16, like I quoted before, Awake, O north wind, come thou south, blow upon my garden, that the spices thereof may flow out. Let my beloved come into his garden and eat his pleasant fruit. That's her heart, and that's his heart. He's just talking of his love for her, how glorious she is. She's his own. She's only his. She's that virgin, 144,000 that follow the Lamb whithersoever he goes. Undefiled. Undefiled and precious. God's sight. I am coming to my garden, my sister, my spouse. I have gathered my myrrh with my spice. I have eaten my honeycomb with my honey. The husband, the man, to the woman is going on. I have drunk my wine with my milk. Eat, O my friends. Eat, everyone. Behold! Behold, my bride. Behold, my spouse. Behold! Eat, my friends. Drink, yea, drink abundantly, O beloved. Satan, look at Job. Behold Job, a man that fears evil, that loves God, that's perfect in his generations. Behold Job. World, devil, hell, behold a church of Jesus Christ that fears God above everything, that loves God with all their hearts, that's sick of love for me. You can't touch it. Love is strong as death. Many waters cannot quench it. Behold, true Christians, follow the Lamb whithersoever he goes. You love Christ. Are you sick of love? Are you jealous for him? Then he's jealous for you. And if you're not, and he's not, watch out. He won't send the devil to try you. And you won't be made like Christ and you won't make it. He loved Job. He was jealous for Job. He knew Job wouldn't deny him. He believed that Job loved him. Song of Solomon, chapter 5. After he's bragging, boasting in this beautiful bride, spouse, she says this, I sleep, but my heart waketh. It is the voice of my beloved that knocketh, saying, Open to me, my sister, my love, my dove, my undefiled, for my head is filled with dew, and my locks with the drops of the night. I have put off my coat. How shall I put it on? I have washed my feet. How shall I defile them? She's too busy. She's too tired. Christ. She's backslidden. She's not right with God. She's not sick of love anymore. She's not expecting Him anymore. She's not holding on to Him anymore. She's too tired. She's asleep. The church of Jesus Christ is largely sleeping in this generation. They're asleep. They're not ready. You're not ready, brethren. We're not ready for Him. We're too tired. We've got too many things to do. We're worried about everything else under the sun but Him. I sleep. My heart waketh. It is the voice of my beloved that knocketh, saying, Open to me, my sister, my love, my dove, my undefiled, like as before. Like He had said before, and she was ready. She's not. Peter wasn't ready anymore. He loved the Lord at the first. He wasn't ready. And that night came, that infamous night when he denied the Lord thrice. He wasn't ready, and after that, he wouldn't let him go. He was ready. for the wedding feast of the Lamb by 2 Peter 1. He was ready to go. Are you ready to go? Are you growing in grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you staying your eyes upon Him? Are you desirous and burning for His glory in the earth? Are you praying to Christ three times in a day? Psalm 137, you can stay there. Song of Solomon. The Israelites that really loved God, they were doing right. This was their cry. By the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down. Yea, we wept when we remembered Zion. We hanged our harps upon the willows in the midst thereof. For there they that carried us away captive required of us a song. They that wasted us required of us mirth, saying, sing us one of the songs of Zion. How shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? If I forget thee, O Jerusalem, let my right hand forget her cunning. Let skill part from my right hand. If I do not remember thee, let my tongue cleave to the roof of my mouth. If I prefer not Jerusalem above my chief joy, which is where Christ dwells. O Christ, where's Christ? Where in the world is Christ? That's where His saints' hearts are. Is your heart in heaven? That's where He is. Heaven. And He's here with you as long as your heart's with Him. There, and you have all spiritual blessings and heavenly places here. Where's your heart? You sick of love. She wasn't. She was backslidden. She wasn't ready. She wasn't watching at His gates and waiting at the post of His doors. For all they that find me find life and shall obtain favor of God. But he that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul. All they that hate me love death. Proverbs 8:34-36. She wasn't ready anymore. Are you ready for His coming? Are your lamps trimmed? Is your heart right? Is God? Stay there. I'm going to read from Luke chapter 12. The burden of Christ in an hour like this for you before you die, before Christ comes again. He's coming again. Verse 35. Let your loins be girded about and your lights burning. And ye yourselves like unto men that wait for their Lord when He will return from the wedding. Wait! And you want Him to return because you love Him. You're sick of love for Him. And that's all you can think about. When will He come? Oh Lord, come quickly, oh God, like John said. He really wanted Him to come. It really wasn't a grief for Him because He didn't like this world. He didn't like how it is. He wants this world to pass away because He wants Christ to come. Blessed one day, the Israelites will say, is He that cometh in the name of the Lord. They won't see Him again until then. He's not going to cast pearls before swine. He will prepare them, and one day it will be a blessing to them. When things get so bad and affliction gets so great and the Ammonites come upon them like a flood, that finally Jephthah, who they hated, a bastard son, they'll ask Him to come back. Again, finally they'll turn to Jesus Christ. I read of a rabbi, Israelite rabbi, that died around 2007. Very infamous, famous rabbi. And he claimed that he knew who the Messiah was. He claimed God had shown him who the Messiah was. And before he died, he wrote a document. And he said the Messiah is Jesus Christ. Then he died. He was a very infamous rabbi. They don't like Jesus Christ yet as a nation. That was a shocking, somehow disconnect with the rest of the nation. Many of them tried to destroy that document. They're against it. His own family's coming against it. Jesus Christ is their Messiah. He is the Messiah. He is our Messiah. They will not see Him again until they shall say, blessed is He that cometh in the authority of God. In the name of God. They said it. They quoted Psalm 118. They didn't mean it because 1 week later they denied the Lord all before the whole world. Before Pontius Pilate. One day they'll mean it. One day when God afflicts them so much that they will be sick of love. Christ. And they will call upon Jephthah to come. And Jephthah said, I'll come, I'll deliver you, but will I be able to reign over you? If I come, can I reign over you? You hated me. You hated me. Will I be able to reign over you? They said, yes. Yes, you can. He came. And He fought for them. Pushed back the Ammonites on every side. So will Jesus Christ. He'll fight for us too against the devil. He'll fight for you too against your sin if you'll look to Him. If you'll delight in Him, His authority, His name. If you'll be sick of love for Him. Ye yourselves, like unto men, verse 36, Luke chapter 12, that wait for their Lord when He will return from the wedding, that when He cometh and knocketh, they may be open, they may open unto Him immediately. Blessed are those servants whom the Lord when He cometh shall find watching. Watching. Verily I say unto you, He shall gird Himself and make them to sit down to meat and will come forth and serve them. And if he shall come in the second watch, or come in the third watch, and find them so, blessed are those servants. And this know that if the good man of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not have suffered his house to be broken up. Be ye therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh at an hour when ye think not. For the Son of Man cometh at an hour when ye think not. So always, at all times, we ought to be sick of love for Christ. She wasn't. I sleep, but my heart waketh. It is the voice of my beloved that knocketh. It's just dim. It's just kind of far off. It's not something she wants to hear like as before. She's not waiting. She's not watching. She's not ready for the coming of Christ. Open to me, my sister, he says, my love. He's knocking. My dove, my undefiled. My head is filled with dew, and my locks with the drops of the night of love. I have put on my coat, off my coat. How shall I put it on? She's comfortable. I have washed my feet. She's clean. She's content without him. How shall I defile them? My beloved put in his hand by the hole of the door, and my bowels were moved for him. That's what he's doing right now. He's putting in his hand by the hole of the door. He's trying to get in. He's trying to wake you up. He's trying to wake us up. He's trying to show us that he's coming, that he's here, that he wants to be with us. And he wants to bring us where he is. Putting his hand in the door, just trying to get her attention. She's already locked up the door. She's already taken off. She's already got ready for bed. She's already washed her feet. She's content. She's fine. She's comfortable. She's got to get some rest. Maybe in the morning. Maybe another time. Not now. And he left. I rose up. She finally woke up. I rose up to open to my beloved. My hands dropped with myrrh, and my fingers with sweet-smelling myrrh upon the handles of the lock. I opened to my beloved. My beloved had withdrawn himself and was gone. My soul failed when he spake, she says. She's thinking, reminiscing. My soul failed when he spake. He's gone now. I sought him, but I could not find him. I called him, but he gave me no answer. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? It's the cry of Christ. That should be our cry right now. The New Testament Christianity sense, which he died to establish. Where is it? Where is the Lord God of Elijah? Where is the Lord God of the Apostle Peter and those apostles and that early church? Where is thou whom my soul loves? Where do you dwell? Where is your flock? Where is your work? Where is your name being praised? Where is your worship being had and sanctified? Where? Oh, where? It's Christ. I sought him, she says, but I could not find him. I called him, but he gave me no answer. The watchman that went about the city found me. Again, the second time this happened. It also happened 2 chapters before this. They smote me. They wounded me. The keepers of the walls took away my veil from me, the scales from my eyes. They smote me. The Lord struck and smote Peter on Damascus Road. Smote him. The scales came off. The veil came off. Nothing between my soul and my Savior. That was the burden that Jake preached about in the Times Square Church videos, and Carter Conlon preached the opposite. In Antichrist, in the devil. It's ecumenical. It's not holiness. God is holiness. Christ is holiness. She needed a hard word. We need hard words. We need to wake up. It's time. Right now, it's high time to wake up from our sleep. For that day is closer than when we first began. He's coming again. Will you be ready? Are your lamps burning bright? Are you a burning and shining light in the night of 2014? America, Australia, the world. World War III brooding upon us. But is your eye upon Christ? You will leap upon the mountains. Or you will falter. Or you will fail. You will not make it in your latter end. If you don't have this love. If you don't love Him like this. We don't thirst for Him like this. If we don't desire Him like this and yearn and long after Him and we're discontent with anything but this. I charge you, O daughters of Jerusalem, if ye find my beloved, that you tell him that I am sick of love. He loved her. He loved her and he held back and he held back and he let the watchman smite her. And if He loves you, He'll do the same thing. He's holding back and He's just looking on. He's just beholding and watching if you'll come after Him or murmur and go away also. She woke up. She remembered. She remembered Him now. She remembered how He took her for granted. She remembered how she wasn't thankful. She remembered the love of the first, her espousals, the love of her youth when she was holy and son of the Lord, set apart for God. I charge you, O daughters of Jerusalem, if ye find my beloved, that ye tell him that I am sick of love. She is deliberate and purposeful and single-minded. I charge you. I charge you. She's going after God. She's going after God until she finds Him or dies trying. The Lord God of Elijah, the Lord God of the book of Acts, the Lord God of Gideon, the Lord God of David. I charge you, O daughters of Jerusalem, if ye find my beloved, that ye tell him. That ye tell him, I am sick of love! That's how you get His attention. That's how He's going to come. That's when we're going to get His attention. That's when we're going to see the New Testament Christianity established again. He will come. When you're sick of love. When I'm sick of love for Him. And I'm not willing to go on living without Him. Are you sick of love for God? I charge you, O daughters of Jerusalem, if you find my beloved, that you tell him that I am sick of love. What is thy beloved more than another beloved? O thou fairest among women, what is thy beloved more than any another beloved that thou dost so charge us? As our Jerusalem said, asked her. She's ready now to give an account of the reason, of the hope that is in her, and meekness and fear. She's waiting on God, and her eyes are upon God. She's not worried about the daughters of Jerusalem. She'll give an account when she gets a chance. She's going after God, just like Peter. Devils are fleeing. Powers of hell are being evaded. Sicknesses are being healed. And his eyes are on Christ. He's following the Lord. He's sick of love. He will not let him go again. He will not deny him again. Not this time. He learned his lesson. Have you learned your lesson, brother? Are you still asleep? She says, my beloved is white and ruddy. The chiefest among 10,000. His head is as the most fine gold. His locks are bushy and black as a raven. His eyes are as the eyes of the doves by the rivers of waters, washed with milk and fitly set. His cheeks are as a bed, spices, as sweet flowers. His lips like lilies, dropping sweet-smelling myrrh. His hands are as gold rings set with beryl. His belly is as bright ivory, overlaid with sapphires. His legs are as pillars of marble, set upon sockets of fine gold. His countenance is as Lebanon, excellent as the cedars. His mouth is most sweet. Yea, he is altogether lovely. This is my beloved, and this is my friend, O daughters of Jerusalem, since you asked. She's sick of love, brethren. That's a heart after God. Luke 21. You can stay there, brethren. In the end times, wars and rumors of wars are coming upon us. Treachery is rising. Iniquity is abounding. The love of many is waxing cold. There is a people. There is somebody out there that's sick of love and not growing cold. Luke 21. Be ready, brethren, always to give an account of the reason of the hope that is in you in meekness and in fear. But before all these, they shall lay their hands on you and persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogues and into the prisons, being brought before kings and rulers for my name's sake. And it shall turn to you for a testimony. Settle it therefore in your hearts, not to meditate before what ye shall answer. It was not hard for her to answer. It was in her heart. It came out of her mouth. Is it in your heart? As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. They that thought upon his name, he wrote a book of remembrance. And he hearkened unto those that thought upon his name. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. This is acceptable. Settle it therefore in your hearts, not to meditate before what you shall answer. I will give you a mouth and wisdom which all your adversaries shall not be able to gainsay nor resist. Ye shall be betrayed both by parents and brethren and kinsfolks and friends. Some of you shall they cause to be put to death. Ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but there shall not an hair of your head perish. That's a promise. In your patience, possess ye your souls. You will have patience, and you will endure all things for this kind of love I'm talking about right now. That belongs unto God. I'll read it again. Chapter 8, verse 6, Song of Solomon. Set me as a seal upon thine heart, as a seal upon thine arm. For love is strong as death. Jealousy is cruel as the grave. Coals thereof are coals of fire, which hath a most vehement flame. Many waters, many trials, many troubles, yea, death itself, many waters cannot quench love. Neither can the floods drown it. If a man would give all his substance of his house for love, it would be utterly contempt. If you have this love for Christ, nothing can stop you from obeying Him. Nothing can stop you from obeying and following Him with all of your heart. And where He is, that's where you're going to be. If you love Him like this. Psalm 45, a song of loves. My heart is inditing a good matter. I speak of the things which I have made touching the King. Is that where your heart is? Inditing a good matter? Christ. Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Christ, your beloved. Christ, your King. Christ on the throne. More about Christ. My tongue is the pen of a ready writer. Thou art fairer than the children of men. Grace is poured into thy lips. Therefore God hath blessed thee forever. Thou art fairer than the children of men. Fairest Lord Jesus. Gird thy sword upon thy thigh, O most mighty. With thy glory and thy majesty. And in thy majesty, ride prosperously because of truth and meekness and righteousness. And thy right hand shall teach thee terrible things. Thine arrows are sharp in the heart of the king's enemies, whereby the people fall under thee. Thy throne, O God, O Jesus Christ, who is God, is forever and ever. The scepter, the rule, the laws of thy kingdom is a right scepter, righteousness. Righteousness, where he dwells. The kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness. Peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. That's acceptable. A right scepter is His. Thou lovest righteousness and hatest wickedness. Therefore God, thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. All thy garments smell of myrrh and aloes and cassia out of the ivory palaces whereby they have made thee glad. Savor of beauty, savor of preciousness. The psalmist says, King's daughters were among thy honorable women. Upon thy right hand did stand the queen in the gold of Ophir. Hearken, O daughter, consider, and incline thine ear. Forget also thine own people and thy father's house. So shall the king greatly desire thy beauty. He is thy Lord. Worship thou Him. Follow thou me, Peter. Thou art fair. Thou art fairer than the children of men. Fairest, Lord Jesus. Is He fair to you? Is He altogether loved to you? Is He still the chiefest of 10,000? Every day you wake up in the morning and you take your first breath and you pray and you meditate with one thought in your mind, Christ. And you go preach and a man is raging at you, threatening to cut off your head, and one thought in your mind, Christ. And you're being stoned to death. They're running upon you. They're putting their fingers in their ears and gnashing their teeth. And the only thing you're thinking of is Jesus Christ and the right hand of God and the glory of God. Calling upon Him like Stephen. He was sick of love, brother. God thought that man worthy to be with Him. And God brought him home. Chariots of fire. I'm sick of love. Are you sick of love? That's the burden of this hour. Are you sick of love? Christ. He'd be sick of love for you if you were. And the daughter of Tyre, verse 12, shall be there with a gift. Even the rich among the people shall entreat thy favor. The king's daughter is all glorious within. Her clothing is of wrought gold. The ark of the covenant, the ark that Noah made, was gold within and without. The bride of Christ that Christ is making is gold within and without. If you go with him, he's trying to make you wrought gold, trying to refine you in the fire and make you precious, eternally precious, as you pour your life out a drink offering upon the altar of God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to the world, but transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove the good and acceptable and perfect will of him whom your soul loveth. She shall be brought unto the king in raiment of needlework. The virgins, her companions, that follow her shall be brought unto thee. With gladness and rejoicing shall they be brought. They shall enter into the king's palace. Said to thy fathers, those that profess themselves to be wise and become fools, shall be thy children, the babes, the children, the blind. They shall have no sin. They just follow the Lamb whithersoever he goes, whether they understand it or not. If Christ's there, they're going to be there. They want to go anywhere with Jesus. Said to thy fathers, the proud, the haughty, the worldlings, said to thy fathers shall be thy children, whom thou mayest make princes in all the earth. Blessed are the meek, they shall inherit the earth. I will make thy name to be remembered in all generations, therefore shall the people praise thee forever and ever. The name of Jesus Christ, let it be praised. All generations, God the Father has set himself to do. We agree with God if we're doing it. We don't agree with God if we're not. Let the people praise him. Let the people love him. Let the people follow. Let the people obey him. Let the people shed their blood for him if God will give you that privilege. None but Jesus. None but Jesus. None are worthy but Jesus. Nothing is worthy but Jesus. Chapter 6, Song of Solomon. Continuing on to that discourse we were going over. That passage. She was sick of love. She wanted to find this God. She set her face not to go on without Christ. She gave an account of the reason of the hope that was in her in meekness and fear. And now the virgins. And now the daughters of Jerusalem follow suit. Somebody's got to stop this massacre. Somebody's got to stop this atrocity of Christ and his own church not being loved. Love God. And here I stand. I will do no other. And others will follow. Whither is thy beloved gone, O thou fairest among women? Whither is thy beloved turned aside, that we may seek him with thee? That's how you win souls. That's how you win Australia. That's how you see the gates of hell pushed back. You look to Christ. You follow Christ. You stay with Christ. You be discontent with anything but Christ. And others will see your zeal. Others will see your love. And that fire will make fire spread like a fire throughout the ranks of Zion, which is asleep, just like you were, just like I was. Now he's trying to wake up those five wise virgins. Before he comes. He's coming again. Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints to exercise the judgment that is written. Behold, he cometh with the clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him. And all the earth shall wail because of him. We should be wailing right now. Wailing. All the ways that we're denying him, his New Testament and his New Covenant, what he shed his blood for, to establish in this earth, should be wailing. Christ. And he hasn't sent us out on the Great Commission yet. He has not authorized it yet, because we're not ready, because this ark is not prepared for those floods. So he hasn't brought them. He's going to bring them. But he wants an ark that will go ahead of the floods. He doesn't want you to be destroyed by the floods. There's no other way. There's no other way to make us perfect. And by those floods. she again. They want to go with her and they want to follow him. They want to find him now. But she's still just thinking about him. My beloved has gone down into his garden to the beds of spices, to feed in the gardens and to gather lilies. I am my beloved's and my beloved is mine. Again, he feedeth among the lilies. I am the rose of Sharon and the lily of the valleys. As a lily among thorns, so is my love among daughters. He had said back in chapter 2, verse 1 and 2. And now he says to her, thou art beautiful, O love, as tears are comely as Jerusalem, terrible as an army with banners. Turn away thine eyes from me, for they have overcome me. I cannot resist such love. I cannot resist such passion. I cannot resist such singularity of heart. Turn away thine eyes from me. They have overcome me. Verse 8, there are 80 queens, 80 concubines, and virgins without number. My dove, my undefiled, is but one. She is the only one of her mother. She is the choice one of her that bare her. The daughter saw her and blessed her. Yea, the queens and the concubines, and they praised her. There's many other women. There's many other wives. There's many other concubines. There's many other human beings. She's one of a kind. The true bride of Christ that he's coming back for. It's washed and sprinkled. All their sin of Christ denying self-will and sin. Rebellion. Till they are sick of love. God. Chapter 7. Verse 4. He's speaking again to the woman still. Thy neck is as a tower of ivory. Thine eyes like fish pools in Heshbon by the gate of Bath Rabim. Thy nose is as the tower of Lebanon which looketh toward Damascus. Thine head upon thee is like Carmel and the hair of thine head like purple. The king is held in the galleries. Can you imagine that? The Lord on the throne of the universe, like the emperor in some kind of great coliseum, looking upon all the festivities, all the people. And he's just up there and he's just looking at Stephen, shedding his blood for him. He's just looking at Stephen, calling upon him. Stephen saw him. He let Stephen see him. And he's looking on and all heaven stood still. It's that man loved the Lord with such a love that he's willing to shed his blood. And the Lord stood up in the galleries. Is his eye upon you? With your evangelism, with your prayer life, with your workmanship, with your love for the saints, is his eye upon you? Is he looking at you? Is he pleased? The king is held in the galleries. He's just held on. The gaze is upon this man. This man is the apple of his eye because he's keeping his laws as the apple of his eye. He's walking with God. Peter's walking with God. Look, behold Satan. Behold powers of hell. Behold world. Look at Peter now. In Acts 5. Look at Peter now. What about you? King is held in the galleries. He held in the galleries for you. Are his eyes upon you? Look at this brother. Look at this sister. Look at how he loves me. Look at how he's sick of love. I will fight for him. I will save him. He will come with me. That one's mine. King is held in the galleries. I read a commentary, quote, her purple crowns of martyrdom especially captivated the king appearing from his galleries. Her purple crowns of martyrdom especially captivated the king appearing from his galleries. Just captivated. Do you want to get his attention? You need the sentence of death. You'd rather die than deny Christ. He's worthy. Death is not worthy of your fear. Satan is not worthy of your fear. Christ. Christ. Only Christ. Ralph Barnard, a sermon entitled The One Issue, says, there are two testimonies that speak to my heart. One is by the same gentleman. Listen, quote, of all the nonsense uttered in these miserable times, perhaps the most nonsensical is the sentence written with a pretense of wisdom which I have often enough met with in my reading and whose excellence I have heard some people praise. The nonsensical sentence is this. This man says, Mr. K, quote, nowadays, no man can be a martyr anymore, for ours is an age incapable of making a martyr of anyone, end quote. And then this man says, quote, "What a misconception. We are not to think it is the age which has the power to put a man to death or to make him a martyr. But it is the martyr, the genuine martyr, which gives to the age the passion, the bitter passion to kill him." So help me God, Ralph Barnard says, "I'm getting sick, so sick and tired of being so nice. I wish under God He would build a fire underneath us until we would take the one issue of this hour and make this generation so aware of it until they would say, quote, 'Away with him! Kill him! Get rid of him!'" We're the nicest little bunch of Orthodox, grace-preaching, in-for-hell people that this world ever had to put up with. And we couldn't disturb a conversation of fleas. The whole, quote, shooting match of us, we couldn't. The other statement I want to use to preface my further remarks come from that great French pastor, Mr. Mathois. And this is for us preachers. After 25 years of preaching, he says, this French pastor, quote, "I am still appalled by all the fine words I have uttered from the pulpit Sunday by Sunday for 25 years, any one of which words, if lived up to the hilt, would have been enough to send me to prison. Christianity is not persecuted in the West. It owes its security to its unfaithfulness," he says. That's the only reason there's no persecution for most. Unfaithfulness. God help us. Now I ask my heart once again some questions. Again, Ralph Barnard says this, "In utter commitment to Jesus Christ, I believe only men and women who sign their lives away. You can't kill them. They're already dead. You can't rob them of their property. They ain't got none. They've signed their lives away. I believe the Scripture teaches that a man who's a Christian is a martyr to be. When my Lord said, 'If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, sign your life away, pick up your cross like him.' And I believe those people are going to be under the blood, safe and secure." James Renwick, "I say again, be resolved against what man can do unto you. For there are no more Christians than there are martyrs in resolution and affection." He was a martyr in 1688. He's with the Lord. And I envy him. Every time I read about it, I envy that man. The happiest day of his life, literally. The happiest, most blessed day of his whole life. No fear. No doubts. No regrets. He didn't regret one thing that he had suffered the last 6 years. So butchered, so destroyed, so slandered, he knew that his name could never be recovered, that he could do more in his death than in his life. The slander was so great, so much rubbish piled upon him, so destroyed physically they had to carry him around on their backs. 26-year-old young man who used to be very athletic, from field to preach. The happiest day of his life. Thomas Watson, a Puritan, quote, "It is true that every Christian is not a martyr, but he has the spirit of martyrdom in him. He says as Paul, quote, 'I am ready to be bound,' end quote. He has a disposition of mind to suffer if God call. Love will carry men out above their own strength." Tertullian observes how much the heathen suffered for love to their country. "If the spring head of nature rises so high, surely grace will rise higher. If love to their country will make men suffer, much more should love to Christ. Love endureth all things," 1 Corinthians 13:7. Basile speaks of a virgin condemned to the fire, who having her life and estate offered her, if she would fall down to the idol, answered, quote, "Let life and money go, welcome Christ." Let life and money go, welcome Christ. Despise it, utterly disdain it. Welcome, Christ. It was a noble and zealous speech of Ignatius, quote, "Let me ground with the teeth of wild beasts, if I may be God's pure wheat," end quote. How did divine affection carry the early saints above the love of life and the fear of death? St. Stephen was stoned. St. Luke hanged on an olive tree. St. Peter crucified at Jerusalem with his head downwards. These divine heroes were willing to suffer rather than by their cowardice to make the name of God suffer. How did St. Paul prize his chain that he wore for Christ? He gloried in it as a woman is proud of her jewels, says Chrysostom. And Holy Ignatius wore his fetters as a bracelet of diamonds, quote, not accepting deliverance. They refuse to come out of prison on sinful terms. They prefer their innocency before their liberty. By this, let us test our love to God. Have we the spirit of martyrdom? By this, let us test our love to God. Have we the spirit of martyrdom? Many say they love God, but how does it appear? Question. They will not forgo the least comfort or undergo the least cross for His sake. If Jesus Christ should have said to us, quote, I love you well, you are dear to me, but I cannot suffer, I cannot lay down my life for you, we should have questioned His love very much. And may not Christ suspect us when we pretend to love Him and yet will endure nothing for Him? Sick of love, brother. Verse 10, Song of Solomon 7, I am my beloved's, and His desire is toward me. Come, my beloved, let us go forth into the field. Let us lodge in the villages. Let us get up early to the vineyards. Let us see if the vine flourish, whether the tender grape appear and the pomegranates. But for there will I give thee my loves. The mandrakes give a smell. At our gate are all manner of pleasant fruits, new and old, which I have laid up for thee, O my beloved. Song of Solomon 8, verse 13. God says, Thou that dwellest in the gardens, companions, hearken to thy voice. Cause me to hear it. Make haste! My beloved, she says, the bride of Christ says, let everybody else in here say, make haste, my beloved, and be thou like a roe, or to a young heart upon the mountains of spices. Love God. Like that woman in Luke chapter 7, weeping at His feet, wiping the tears with the hair of her head. And all the Pharisees are looking on and mocking and despising her, and she utterly contemned. She can only think of one. Jesus Christ. God be merciful to me, a sinner. And He could only think of one. Jesus Christ. And He went home justified rather than the Pharisees thinking of Himself. Look what I've done for Christ. Are we sick of love, brethren? Are we sick of love? He's coming again for a bride. Loves Him. He's taking knowledge of them like Boaz took knowledge of Ruth. He's taking knowledge of them. As Ruth went out of her way and she did something that was so scandalous in that day to go and try to win His favor, to take His hand in marriage, and Boaz respected and feared and loved it. And he fought for her. See the judgment come forth that she had wanted to marry Him. Do you want to marry Christ? Do you want to be at the wedding feast of the Lamb? Do you want to be prepared when you die? You want to be worthy. David's three mighty men bursting through a garrison of the Philistines for no apparent reason but to get them some water from Bethlehem. Going through enemy lines, all their lives at stake, and they got some water, and they came back, and then He poured it on the ground. That's what Christ is looking for. That'll get His attention. Then He'll behold you from the galleries. Then you'll hold His attention. You'll hold Him fast. He'll never let you go. He'll never let such a one as that go into hell. He'll rebuke kings. He'll rebuke Satan for your sake. Back off. I love Him. We're going to go through some fires, brother. If you don't love God, if you're not sick of love for God, you're not going to make it. Nothing else. Even the fear of God. Even the fear of God without this love won't make it, won't cut it. No way. Not even close. Isaiah 29, speaking of the church, Ariel means the line of God. He's speaking of His people that He loves. Woe to Ariel! To Ariel, the city where David dwelt. Add ye year to year. Let them kill sacrifices. Yet I will distress Ariel. And there shall be heaviness and sorrow, and it shall be unto me as Ariel, as the line of God. It's going to stand. He's going to try them. He's going to try us. He's going to besiege us. And I will camp against thee round about, and will lay siege against thee with a mount. And I will raise forts against thee, and thou shalt be brought down. Thou shalt speak out of the ground, and thy speech shall be low out of the dust. And thy voice shall be as one that hath a familiar spirit out of the ground, and thy speech shall whisper out of the dust. Moreover, the multitude of thy strangers shall be like small dust, and the multitude of the terrible ones shall be as chaff innumerable that passeth away. Yea, it shall be at an instant suddenly. Thou shalt be visited of the Lord of hosts with thunder, with earthquakes, and great noise, with storm, and tempest, and the flame of devouring fire. And the multitude of all the nations that fight against Ariel, even all that fight against her and her munition, and all that distressed her, shall be as a dream of a night vision. It shall be even as one a hungry man dreameth, and behold, he eateth, but he waketh, and his soul is empty. Or when a thirsty man dreameth, and behold, he drinketh, but he awaketh, and behold, he is faint, and his soul hath appetite. So shall the multitude of all the nations be that fight against Mount Zion. It's going to be like a dream. Unbelievable. Unimaginable. Unreal. But it is real. The only thing that will stay you in that time is this love, God. Are you sick of love, brother? And that will stay you through whatever storm. There's nothing to come between you and the Savior. Nothing set me as a seal upon thine heart. Church of Wells, Church of Jesus Christ of 2014, because fires are coming. Who shall be able to stand in that great day? Zephaniah chapter 3. The affliction that is needed, that He's going to bring us through, that will also work righteousness in us, that we will wade through, that we will run through if you love God like this. You will run. You will fight. You will thrive in the fires much more than other times. You'll be better off than you ever were before if you love Him like this. Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 9, "For then will I turn to the people of a pure language, they may all call upon the name of the Lord to serve Him with one consent. From beyond the rivers of Ethiopia, my suppliants, even the daughter of my dispersed, shall bring mine offering. And that day shalt thou be ashamed for all thy doings, wherein thou hast transgressed against me. Then I will take away out of the midst of thee them that rejoice in thy pride. Thou shalt no more be haughty because of my holy mountain, saying, the temple of the Lord, temple of the Lord, temple of the Lord, these glory and the form, denying the power thereof. I will also leave in the midst of thee an afflicted and poor people. They shall trust in the name of the Lord." The afflicted and the poor people. "And they shall trust in the name of the Lord. The remnant of Israel shall not do iniquity, nor speak lies, neither shall deceitful tongue be found in their mouth. For they shall feed and lie down, and none shall make them afraid." 144,000 birds that follow the Lamb whithersoever He went, and there was no file found, there was no guile found in their mouths. Undefiled, spotless, holy, completely sold out for God. "Sing, O daughter of Zion, shout, O Israel, be glad and rejoice with all the heart, O daughter of Jerusalem. The Lord hath taken away thy judgments. He hath cast out thine enemy. The King of Israel, even the Lord, is in the midst of thee. Thou shalt not see evil any more. In that day it shall be said to Jerusalem, fear thou not. To Zion, let not thine hands be slack. Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. He will save. He will rejoice over thee with joy. He will rest in His love. He will joy over thee with singing. I will gather them that are sorrowful for the solemn assembly, sorrowful, sick of love, wanting to be with Christ, this Christ. Where, oh, where is Christ, this Christ? Behold, at that time I will undo all that afflict thee, and I will save her that halteth, and gather her that was driven out, and I will get them praise and fame in every land where they have been put to shame. At that time will I bring you again, even in the time that I gather you, for I will make you a name and a praise among all people of the earth when I turn back your captivity before your eyes, saith the Lord. Blessed are the meek. They shall inherit the earth. I'm going to close, brethren. This, from the video that we just made, Jesus died to set men free. Years ago, an Englishman had gone out to California and made his fortune in the gold fields and wanted to go back and live with his own people. So he sent his money by check around and back to England and he came overland on the Santa Fe Trail to Kansas City, and down in Missouri, and then to Mississippi, and ended up in New Orleans, where he was going to take ship to New York, and from there to England. And as a tourist in New Orleans, he did as most tourists do. He went down to the slave market. Only then, in early 1850s, there were still slaves being sold. As he went into the market, he saw a lot of men gathered there, and as one party was put on the hurt, was put on, he heard the men, and they, as they were speaking about her, and saw two evil men bidding for her quite heatedly. And then he heard them say that what they would do unto her, and his heart just revolted against the whole swinish thing. Finally, when they were bidding, and the biddings were getting, the prices were getting high and smaller, he just couldn't stand it. And so he beckoned to the auctioneer, and he said a figure which was exactly twice the last bid, utterly beyond anything that had ever been paid for a slave in that market before. He said, "Have you got the money?" And he came up and said, "Yea, you got the money." So the bill of sale was made out, and he went over to the block to take the woman to be purchased. And as she came down one step and stood just about level with his eyes, she had made a mouthful of spittle. She spat right full in his face and hissed through her clenched teeth, "I hate you." He said nothing. And with the back of his hand, he wiped the spittle away, took her by the hand, walked down the street, across the intersection, through the mud, down that street, till he came to a little office building she couldn't read. Didn't know what it was. He went to the desk, began to speak. The man behind the desk began to protest. He said, quote, "I insist. It's the law. I insist." Finally, he came back, paid some money, and got a paper. He walked over to the woman, who was like a beast ready to spring on him, and he handed the paper out and said, quote, "Here are your manumission papers. You're free." She still hissed, "I hate you." He said, "Didn't you understand? I said, here are your manumission papers. You're free." She said, "No, you paid twice as much for me as they ever paid for anybody on that block, and you're giving me leave?" "I don't believe you." He said, "Yes, these are your manumission papers." And he put them in her hand. And she said, "Stop, mister. Do you mean to say you bought me to set me free?" He said, "Yes, that's why I bought you, to set you free." Tears came up in her eyes that had not known tears in a long time. They just spilled over, her face softened. And then she slipped down on her hands and knees, and she reached down and put her hands around those rough miner's boots, and then laid her cheek down on the toe of one of them. Through her tears she sobbed, "Oh, you bought me to set me free. You bought me to set me free. You paid more than has ever been paid before just to set me free." And then through her tears she looked up and said, "Oh, sir, all I want in life is to be your slave. You bought me, set me free." Jesus Christ died to set you free from sin, the devil, hell, and fear of death. Honor Him. Bow before Him. Give Him the glory due unto His name, brethren. Set yourself to love Him. Set yourself to follow Him, to go through with God. For He's worthy. He's worthy.